Scary Stories
from a Cat in the Dark.
Hello and welcome to Scapey Stories from a Cat in the Dark. My name is Jordan D. White and this is my cat, Scapey. Hello, Scapey, how are you?
Good, I'm very good, but this is a spooky show for Halloween.
Well, it's actually going to be after Halloween.
Yeah, but it's still going to be pretty scary.
Okay. For those of you who don't know, this is a show where I tell a scary story to Scape and then Scape tells it to a special guest. We've actually been doing movies recently, so I watch a movie with him and then he tells it to a guest. This one is going to be a little tough because it has been quite a while since Scape watched this movie.
I still remember it pretty good.
Okay, if you say so, but it has been a little while.
Yeah, but I know how it goes, basic.
Okay, all right. Why don't we introduce our special guest? Please welcome music connoisseur, Madison Gale.
Hi, I was also known back in the day for the, shall we say, emo disclaimer. Whatever that term means.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
When I used to warn that this program may contain language and material that may be considered offensive.
Oh, okay.
Offensive, like the idea that you once had feelings for me.
Right.
But, you know, I've moved on since then.
I do remember that from my days back at WHRW. They brought you in as a celebrity to do a disclaimer.
Yeah, the kind of celebrity you've just haven't heard about yet.
All right. Well, Scape's going to tell you a story.
Yeah. It's going to be... Hey, I hope you're ready, because it's going to be so scary.
I'm excited.
Okay. This is the last episode of Friday the 13th. It's called Friday the 13th, the final chapter, by Barney Cohen.
I like the sense of finality you're giving this.
It's the final one. It's the last Jason story ever.
I hope they give an adequate amount of closure in the plot.
Well, yeah. Spoiler! Don't give it away. So, okay. Once upon a spooky time, there was a guy named Jason Voorhees. And, so you know, in the first three movies, here's what happened real quick. First, he was in a camp as a little kid, and he almost drowned, but he didn't drown, and he went to the forest, and he lived in the forest by himself, and he was ugly as anything ugly. And when he would see people doing it, he'd be like, I'm angry at them doing it, and he would try to kill them. For a while, he didn't try to kill people, but then his mom tried to kill people, and then his mom got killed, and then he was like, now I'm gonna kill people, and so then he started killing people, and then he killed a bunch of people, and then he killed some more people later, and then he killed some more people later after that, and then he got killed.
What I like about the horror movie genre is the fascinating way in which they juxtapose violence over sex.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't like it. He would kill you if you tried to do it. So watch out.
Which goes back to the puritanical origins of this country and how just enjoying things are just so totally natural to the human body are just so grounds for so much hatred and violence and rage.
Well, he gives you a test, but it doesn't matter because
nothing is more American than Jason Voorhees.
Well, that's true. He's American because he lives in America, but then he dies in America. So the police are there going, hey, Akira killed a bunch of people and now he's dead. And they put him in an ambulance in a bag and they take him to the hospital. And at the hospital, they're wheeling him around and they bring him into the room with all the dead people. And they're putting him with the dead people. And the guy who works at the dead people room is like, hey, nurse, what do you think? Do you want to do it? Jason Voorhees is here, but he's dead, so he can't, you know, kill us. So that means we're free to do it if we want. Well, guess what?
Did they do it?
No, because he wasn't really dead and he killed them. He went, kill, and they died. The boy got him in the neck with a saw. Saw, dead. And the nurse, he killed her too. He stabbed her in the stomach. So then they were dead.
Back when I was in my emo phase, every time I had sex, I felt a little bit more dead.
Well, was there Jason in your heart?
I never looked at it that way.
Yeah, that's kind of how he works. He, like I said, he gives a test. So he's not really dead. I was only lying when I said he was dead, okay? And he gets up out of the hospital and he's like, I'm going to leave the hospital now. Meanwhile, some kids... And by kids, I mean like, you know, teenagers. They're like, hey, we are cool. We're gonna go hang out in a house that we rented on the lake. And we didn't hear about all the people dying, so we don't care about that. Do-do-do-do-do-do, party time. And they're driving. And on their driving way, they go, hey, look, there's a tombstone. What does it say? It says, Jason's mom. That's weird. Hey, look, there's a girl trying to hitchhike. Are we gonna give her a ride? Nope. Guess what? Jason killed the hitchhiker. She's dead now. They didn't pick her up. Jason killed her. The end of that girl. Anyway.
It's like emblematic of the death of trust in American society.
Well, Jason killed her, if that's what you mean.
You can't trust anyone. You can't even trust to pick up rides from strangers anymore because the Jason in our hearts will just kill us.
I don't know why he killed her. She was eating a banana. That's kind of like doing it, I guess. Maybe he doesn't like hitchhikers. Anyway, the point is, so those people drive up to a house that they rented. Next door to that house, who lives in the next door? Well, I will tell you. A little boy. He's only 12 years old. Which, by the way, is how old I am. Just a coincidence. But anyway, this boy is called Tommy, and his sister is there. Whatever, sister, I don't care. And they say hi. Oh, hi, people. And then the people who rented the house also meet two twin girls who are hot. Hottie twins, okay? And the hottie twins go, hey, teenagers, do you want to take off all your clothes and go swimming with us? And they go, yeah, we do. So they take off all their clothes and they go swimming. And then, like I said, Tommy and his sister walk up and Tommy's like, whoa, I see some naked chicks. What do you think about that? I'm only 12, but I like naked chicks. And the sister goes, don't look, Tommy. It's too much. But then all the kids are like, hey, our sister of Tommy, do you want to come to our party? We're going to have a party later on. And she's like, I don't know, maybe. We'll have to see. Anyway, I'm going to go because my car is breaking down the road or something. And so she goes. But then a guy comes and goes, hey, I'm a mysterious guy. I don't want to tell you why I'm here because I'm mysterious, but I could help you with your car. So here you go. Help, 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 help. And then their car works, and so they get to drive home. So then, later that night, they're having a party. They're having their party. They're boogieing on down. But you know what? Some of them are boys, and some of them are girls, and some of them are boyfriends and girlfriends. Do you know about that?
Yes, I think I do.
Okay, so, but what happens is some of the boyfriends and some of the girlfriends get in fights. So the boyfriend is, like, dancing with the hottie twins, and the girlfriend is like, excuse me? I like it when you dance with hottie twins, and the boyfriend's like, whatever. I could dance with whoever I want. And the girlfriend is like, well, then I think you suck. And the boy's like, meh. And so the girl goes, fine. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go outside. I'm going to take off all of my clothes again. I'm going to jump in the water naked, okay, and swim. And she's swimming. And she's swimming. And then she's like, I'm going to get on the raft naked and be naked. And then, do you know what happens?
Does Jason come?
Well, spoiler. You could have just said yes.
I didn't actually know.
Oh, you guessed?
Yeah.
That was a good guess. Because, yeah, what happens is Jason...
I'm amazing.
Jason must be under the raft because he stabs her up through the raft. Stab! Knife comes out, or like a sword, I don't know, a machete. Ah! She's dead. The end of that. Then another boy is like, hey, what happened to your girlfriend? And the boyfriend's like, I don't care. And so he goes, I'll go find her. And he walks out, and then Jason goes, kill! And he kills her. I mean, he kills him. It's a boy this time. Kill. Dead. Then, one of the twins is like, I'm not really gonna do it with this boyfriend. And the other twin is like, I am really gonna do it with this boyfriend. And so the twin who's not gonna do it is like, well, then I'm gonna go home. And she goes outside and she gets on her bike. And then Jason kills her! He throws a spear through her. It just goes, dead.
The manic energy in this description just reminds me of a solo in a Skeleton Breath song.
Skeleton?
You wouldn't know who they are.
No, I don't know who that is. Oh, Skeleton Breath. That must be like if a skeleton... Well, a skeleton can't breathe. They don't have lungs.
It's symbolistic.
Symbol?
It looks like I've blown your mind. We should just move on.
Okay, well...
This happens a lot.
This happens a lot, too, where Jason kills people. So what happens is, that girl is dead. So he killed a girl, he killed a boy, he killed a girl. So, meanwhile, inside, the other twin just did it with the boyfriend. And the boyfriend is like, that was pretty cool. I'm gonna go get some wine. Right, I'm gonna go get a cask of Amontillado. Anyway, he goes to get some wine. And he's like, hey, where is the corkscrew? I cannot find the corkscrew. The corkscrew is what I need to open this bottle of wine. And yet, alas, I cannot find it. And then, here's what, secretly, Jason is watching him, and Jason goes to himself, he thinks, oh, this gives me an opportunity to explore some irony.
There's going to be irony now?
Oh, yes. He goes, ironically, I know where the corkscrew is because I have it. He thinks to himself. So the boy is going, I need the corkscrew. Where's the corkscrew? And Jason goes, He doesn't talk. But he says with his actions, he says, "Here is the corkscrew in your hand. Stab in your hand." He stabs in his hand with the corkscrew, thus corkscrewing his hand. And then he chops him in the face with a giant, like, axe knife thing, okay?
That's not irony.
That part wasn't, but the corkscrew part was, because he was like, "Where's the corkscrew? Here's the cork. Get it? Here's the corkscrew."
But where are all the woodland creatures and completely random stuff that doesn't make any sense and is more of a non sequitur to the plot than anything else, but at the same time shows a juxtaposition of the insane upon the sane world?
The woodland creatures are in the woods.
Which makes more sense that it would be ironic if the woodland creatures were in the basement with them.
No, the woodland creatures. It was not about woodland, it was about corkscrew. Did you get the part about the corkscrew?
Yes, but if you include the woodland creatures, that's unexpected and thus emblematic of irony.
No, the unexpected part was the axe to the face. Because he's right.
But that's expected if it's Jason Voorhees.
No way, man. He did a corkscrew.
If he came in like being chased by a bear and perhaps flanked by a couple of deer, that would make the scene very ironic.
Jason doesn't kill deer. He kills peepers.
I'd watch this movie if it had more deer and bears.
I feel like maybe he killed a dog sometime. I don't remember. Anyway, look. So here's what happens. The boyfriend that cheated on his girlfriend who is dead with a twin whose other twin is dead is dead. And so the twin is upstairs. And she's like, I wonder where the boyfriend went. Oh, well, I'm just looking out a window, totally innocent. Oh, guess what?
What?
Remember when I said Jason threw a spear through her sister when she was on a bike?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he did the same thing again, this time, because he's down on the ground and she's way upstairs in the window, and he throws the spear through the window, into her. That was her going, And then he purrs, and she goes, whew, out the window, and dies. Meanwhile, down in the basement, I guess, this one dude is, watching, some porno movies, okay? And he's smoking some funny smoker stuff, you know what I mean?
He's watching Mary Jane while also doing Mary Jane.
Well, okay, I don't know who Mary Jane is, but he was smoking and watching porno. So, and then he's like, hey, I'm gonna go up close to the screen and look at it for some reason. I don't care why, but I'm gonna, so, okay. Oh! Jason just stabbed me through the screen into my head. Ow, that hurts. I'm dead.
That seems like a very cathartic moment of self-awareness if he's able to exclaim very loudly that he's been stabbed through the head as he's being stabbed through the head.
Yeah, he knows
it. I applaud. Can we watch this scene?
Well, you have to imagine it. That's the whole point of this show, is you imagine it.
That's powerful.
Yeah, that is powerful, powerful scary, too. But you're probably wondering to yourself, hey, if that guy yelled out, I'm getting killed right now, how come the people who are still alive didn't hear that he got killed?
Dramatic irony. It's so beautiful.
Well, here, I would tell you why. They were doing it in the shower, okay? Shower's round.
You just took away my entire enjoyment of this part of the movie.
Why?
I thought there was going to be some more true irony here.
No, they were doing it in the shower. So the guy comes out of the shower like, I just did it. Did you know I did it? And Jason's like, yeah, I know you did it. I'm going to crush your head against the shower. Crush! And he does it. Then he's like chasing the girl, and the girl is like, no, help me, no, help me. And she goes out the front door. And, oh, did she escape? No. The axe goes through the front door into her, and she dies. And at that point, just so you know, I'm pretty sure they're all dead. So, now that all of those people are dead, Jason killed them all. They all failed his test of, did you try to do it? And the answer was always yes, and they die. What we're left with is Tommy, the little boy, to remember him, and the sister of Tommy, and they're next door going, I think something happened, and they go, hey, where's our mother? She's missing! So the sister goes, I'm gonna go get help. And she goes out into the forest to find help.
Does she encounter any woodland creatures?
Do you want them to be woodland creatures?
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Does she find a bear?
Yes.
Does it talk to her?
No.
Oh.
Oh, yes, I mean.
Nice.
Well, it starts talking, and then it takes off a mask, and it turns out it's not a bear. It's the dude who helped her with her car earlier. And his name is Rob, And she goes, "What are you doing in the forest?" And he says, "Well..."
Now that's an ironic entrance right there.
Yeah, yeah, it pretty much is. And he goes, "Here's why I'm here. Did you ever hear of Jason Voorhees?" And she's like, "Yeah, I guess, I don't know." And he goes, "Well, he killed my sister like 2 days ago, so I'm going to hunt him down and kill him. What do you think about that?" And she's like, "That means you're a pretty tough guy. I'm pretty excited." So he goes with her back to her house, and he drops off his stuff in their house for some reason, and he's like, "You and me, sister, and the dog are gonna go to try to see if Jason is next door killing all those people. And Tommy, you're gonna stay here because you're just a little boy." And so Tommy's like, "Okay." But while they're gone, Tommy's like, "I'm gonna look through all that guy's stuff to see what he's doing." And he finds all the newspaper stuff about Jason the killer, because apparently they have been publishing a lot of newspapers in the last 2 days about how much he killed people. Meanwhile, while Tommy's reading all that, next door is Rob and the sister and the dog, and the dog is like, "I'm gonna smell Jason." And Jason's like, "I don't like people smelling me. Kill the dog!" He kills the dog.
Whoa.
Yeah, pretty intense, don't you think?
I think so.
Yeah. Then Rob is like, "I think Jason is in the basement. I'm gonna go down there to see." And so they go down to the basement, and guess what? Jason is there. And Jason is like, "Hey, I'm gonna kill you for coming down here into the basement to find me, because I don't like when people find me." And so Jason kills the guy, Rob. And the sister's like, "Oh god!" And she runs home. She's gonna go tell Tommy, "Tommy, you gotta run away to get away from Jason." And Tommy is like, "No, I've got a plan." And Jason is like, "I'm going to kill the sister and the kid. Whatever, I'll kill them all." And Tommy goes, "One of the things, by the way, I forgot to tell you something."
What did you forget to tell him?
"No, I forgot to tell you something in real life. I left out part of the story."
Oh. What'd you leave out?
Do you remember how there's a little kid named Tommy?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things he's really good at and that he likes to do is special effects and makeup.
That's ironic.
Wait, is it? Why?
It's unexpected to the plot.
Wait, it's unexpected now because I forgot to tell you, but if I had told you earlier, it would not be as unexpected.
It's as unexpected as this coaster I once found that just has a picture of a lot of pretzels on it and it says beer. It's completely ironic and completely unexpected.
Well,
I love it. I want to get like 20 for my apartment.
20 little boys to do makeup?
No. That's sick, man.
It was your idea. Look, okay.
20 coasters with pretzels on it that say the word beer.
Look, all I'm telling you is earlier in the movie, Tommy is like, "Hey, do you check out this makeup I did to make somebody look like a monster? Or check out this other makeup I did that has makeup on it." Anyway, then, much later, the part we're at now, Jason is chasing the sister. Remember that?
Yes.
And Tommy goes, "Hey, I saw in the newspaper with my little eye a picture of Jason when he was a little kid, back when he drowned at the camp. Do you remember when I told you about that?"
Possibly.
Well, yes, is the answer, yes. So Tommy goes, "I've got an idea. I'm going to shave my head, and I'm going to make myself ugly, just like Jason was when he was a little kid, and then I'm going to jump out at Jason and go, 'Jason, I'm you when you were a little kid!' And Jason looks over and goes, 'Well, that looks like me when I was a little kid. I'm confused because I thought I was me, but now I see that looks like me over there, so which one is me?'"
Apotheosis. He's having an out-of-body subliminal experience.
"I'm so confused. I don't understand why."
This is amazing. It's transcending the mundaneness of the slasher genre and becoming something greater.
He's like, I don't know who is the real me. But really, it was all a trick so that Jason would stop looking at the sister, so the sister could pick up a machete, okay, and creep up behind him and then go chop with a machete into Jason, okay? And so Jason is dead, and she drops the machete, and she's like, "Oh, that's the end of the movie. Like, obviously, Jason is dead." And Tommy goes, "I don't believe it. I'm gonna pick up the machete and chop him even more. Chop him, 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 chop him." And Tommy chops him.
Wow, that's intense.
And the sister's like, "No, Tommy, you're killing Jason, which is good, but at the same time, you seem like you're crazy. I don't like it." Then, a little bit later, Tommy is visiting his sister in the hospital because she got hurt. Jason hurt her, whatever, doesn't matter. The point is, he's visiting her in the hospital, and they're hugging, and they're hugging, and guess what? Tommy looks a little crazy. The end.
You know what would be so much cooler?
What?
Is if this had some sort of second ending as well. Or perhaps an alternate ending.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Wikipedia mentioned something to me about an alternative ending.
What?
I was actually reading that instead of listening to you.
You're looking up Wikipedia! You're supposed to be listening to my version!
Whoops.
Well, what does it say?
Well, it says that Trish and Tommy woke up the next morning, and, like, she sent Tommy to get the police, but they went over to the house next door.
Okay.
Then she starts to see, like, this water dripping from the ceiling, which I'm sure is, like, a symbol for something.
Water.
Or it could be a symbol for something.
Symbol for water. A drip is a symbol
but
for water.
Water is symbolistic of a lot of things, like life, or, like, abundance, or inundation.
What?
Just believe me. I have a critical lit degree.
Water is a symbol for thirsty. Anyway, just tell me what happens.
Sexual frustration.
That's not what I'm having.
At that point, she goes upstairs, runs into the bathroom, and sees her mother's body in there.
Huh?
And the bathtub is full of blood.
Oh.
She gets her mother out of the tub, and her mother's eyes open,
huh?
And there are no irises. It's just pure white.
Wait, what?
Then Jason comes in from behind and prepares to attack Trish.
Wait, Jason's already dead.
Well, he came back, apparently.
What?
See, that's what I love about these movies. They're so symbolistic of death and rebirth and redemption.
Okay, we're back.
And in this point, Jason's getting his redemption in terms of coming back from the dead.
But yeah, that doesn't make sense because this is the final chapter. He can't come back.
Well, he's back now. But then Trish just wakes up and you realize all of it was a dream.
Oh,
but
so there was no Jason?
But she woke up in the hospital.
Wait, so there was a Jason?
I think it was just a dream.
Jason was a dream?
Yeah.
The whole movie?
No, just this last part.
Oh, okay, just the part in the bathtub?
Yeah.
Okay.
But she woke up in the hospital, kind of like what happened with the first movie.
And Tommy gives her a hug.
No, she just wakes up in the hospital. She's crazy now.
Wait, she's crazy?
Yeah.
Everybody's always crazy. Okay, look.
Well, that's true of everything in life.
That
we're
ending.
We're all crazy.
No, you can't count that ending. That didn't happen.
We could take that as a commentary about the insanity of the modern world. We're all crazy.
You can't take that ending as a commentary because that ending didn't happen. I didn't tell it, so it's not real, okay?
In my heart, I know what's real. And that ending was real.
No! You can't say that ending is real. That ending is not real.
I defy you.
You can't!
I defy you, Scape.
Okay.
Everything in my heart is telling me to defy you right now and say that this is a true ending because this ending speaks to me.
You said you had Jason in your heart, so he would kill it.
No. The Jason in my heart's only free now.
No!
Because the water dripping from the ceiling in this ending represented his thirst for freedom.
What? Well, and I did say it represented thirstiness, yeah.
And the blood in the bathtub was reminiscent of life itself, the life blood that gives us our freedom.
No, listen! I gotta tell you a story. Here is the story. Once upon a time, you listened to my story, and I told you the story that was real, and that is the end. The end. There's no alternate ending.
You don't have to be a fascist, Scape.
I don't have to be whatever I want, so...
Exactly.
Okay.
Just let me have my interpretation, then.
No, I will tell you how to interpret, because this is a scary story. And the way scary stories work is, they always have a scary moral.
Your story didn't even have that many woodland creatures.
It had one, but it was really a dude, and I kind of added that in. That wasn't actually in the movie.
Wow, I can't believe you.
You could believe this! The scary moral of Friday the 13th, the final chapter, is...
Is what?
I'm thinking. I guess don't do it.
Don't do what?
It.
It?
Yeah, like, you know, it. Oh, do I have to spell it?
I think maybe the moral is do it.
No, don't do it, because
live
look.
Life. Live it to its fullest. Let that life flood in a flood of lifeblood that just drips down from the ceiling.
No, that didn't happen! That didn't happen!
You should do it.
Okay, you can't do it because I'll tell you
and
there was a
Jason
bunch of people.
And let the Jason in your heart run free.
The Jason in your heart will kill you if you do it because there are so
this
many people who do it.
This makes me smile.
There were all these people, even in the alternate ending.
This alternate ending cuts through the mundaneness of life itself how truly crazy we all are.
There was a boyfriend and a girlfriend and a sister. I mean, and two twin sisters and another boy and another girl and then another dude, and they all wanted to do it in one capacity or the other, and they all got killed for trying to do it.
But at the same time, they never lived more than how they lived in this movie.
Well, I mean, they never appeared in another movie before or after because they got killed. But you know what? Tommy did not try to do it, and he lived. He kind of got excited for a minute where he was like, oh, naked girlies, but he's still just a little kid, so Jason gives him a pass. And the
sister...
That's
why Jason is so very great and awesome.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you. And the sister, she didn't try to do it with the guy. She just called him to help. So... she gets to live forever.
Who gets to make these rules?
Jason!
Why?
He's got a machete.
Why do we allow him to rule over our hearts so much?
He's got a machete!
So that's all that there is to it then. Might makes right.
Yeah.
Whoever has the biggest machete rules the world.
Yeah.
What kind of world, what kind of fascist society is that to live in?
Fascist?
We should embrace freedom instead.
You are free! Jason is free to
kill
you.
Are any of us in our hearts free if we follow these rules?
Yeah, you're free to follow them or not. And then Jason kills you.
That's just false freedom. That's the freedom fascists live under.
That's the freedom. Listen, don't worry about it. Jason is dead. He can't come back again. He's
and
dead.
And thus freedom thrives.
Well, for now. But just be careful about doing it, because you should do your job.
What if it is your job?
What's your job?
Living life to its fullest.
That's not your job! You're fibbing!
Why are you getting in the way of my life's job?
That's not your job! Okay,
who are you to say that that's not my job?
Scapey! Who pays you to do that?
Me. I pay it in happiness and fullness of experience.
You don't get paid in happiness, you get paid in moist food. Look, point is, don't do it. Do your job. The end. Jason rules, even though he's dead now. And that is the final chapter.
Or is it?
No, it is. It's called Final Chapter. They can't bring him back again after that.
Isn't there something about a starship in the distant
future? Oh, well, okay. Let's not get hung up on details, but that was the final chapter of Friday the 13th, apparently. So, Scapey, thank you for telling that. Madison Gale.
Yes.
Thank you for being on the show.
It was an uplifting experience.
I'm glad you feel that way. I hope you feel better soon.
I hope so, too.
Excellent. Thank you all for listening. Scape, do you want to...
Yes. Halloween might be over, but Scapey's stories will never die!